If you'll turn to the book of Mark, please, the first chapter. I would like to read from verses 16 through 20 of Mark 1. And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. From the beginning of Jesus' dealings with people, he has had one call. One call. And that is, follow me. Follow me. This call, of course, takes its exceptions to the way in which we respond on the basis of our need. Men and women who have not had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, men and women who have never become personally related to Jesus Christ, men and women who have a mental assent or an intellectual understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ, but who have never made a step of personal commitment in this area, to them this call comes in a certain context. Jesus said, "I've come to call sinners to repentance." It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick, and I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible says that all of us are in that category outside of Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to those, the call of Jesus comes this way. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And strange as it might seem, it's very possible that in a conference of this kind, even at the termination of an entire week of studying these things, there may be those who have yet to become personally involved with Jesus Christ. And his call has been the same from the beginning. Follow me. "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And Jesus extends this invitation graciously and kindly to everyone. And his desire is to make that life complete, because he said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance." This is the desire of Jesus. This is the purpose of his coming. And so his call to that individual is, come. Come and drink and find life. And then his call to those who have made that commitment and had that encounter with Christ is still the very same. Follow me. And it's interesting, because so often, as we talk with people, particularly after a message like the one we sought to present last night regarding the need for our involvement in helping others come to know Jesus Christ, the need for the fact that this is the way in which God intended that his objective be accomplished, people to people. And the response so often is, "But I don't feel called to that." And my answer, or question and answer, is, called to what? You see, the only call that Jesus has extended is to follow him. And If we give ourselves to following Him, then it is His responsibility to do with our lives whatever He wants. The amazing thing about following Jesus Christ is that He leads us a step at a time. If you'll remember, in John 10:4, where He's talking about the Good Shepherd, and He makes this statement, "When He, the Good Shepherd, has brought out His sheep," or brought out all His own, "He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." All the Father asks, all Jesus asks of us, is that we follow Him, that we allow Him to lead us where it is He wants us to go. Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His ways." A step at a time, but it's always following Jesus. It's always following the Savior. Follow Me. And this was the original call that He made. And it's interesting because after His ascension, the disciples became sidetracked. And in John 21 and verse 3, Peter says, "Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going fishing." And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." They had forgotten, or didn't understand, probably the latter, that they had been given a charge. They had been given a responsibility. They had been given a job. But somehow, because of what had happened, they were dismayed, disheartened. And so they forgot the original call, and they went back to the very thing from which they had been called, back to fishing. But notice what happens in this very same chapter. 21, verses 20 through 22. Jesus appears. He talks to them. And in verse 20, Peter turned, and he saw following them the disciple whom Jesus loved, which refers to John, the author of this gospel. And so Peter says, "Lord, what about this fellow?" And the Lord said, "It makes no difference to you what about him. Your responsibility is to follow me." Follow me. The first words that he spoke to these men when he invited them to come and be a part of his band, his team, was "follow me." The first words were "follow me." And the last words are "follow me." This is his call. It's his call to you tonight and to me, that we be involved in following him, in giving ourselves to a knowledge of what he says in the scriptures, that we might be able to follow him intelligently, that we might follow him obediently. It's the same call. It's to himself. Jesus always draws men to himself. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself." If we follow him as he has asked us, we are accepting his invitation, and through us, he intends that others should see how they can follow him too. Not follow us, not follow our ways, not follow our little plans, our little organization, our group, but follow him. That is the call for everyone tonight, and not one of us can say tonight, "But I don't feel called." He has called you just as surely as he called Andrew and Peter and James and John that day by the Sea of Galilee. And just as surely as he went to Matthew the tax collector and he told him, invited him to follow him. Just as surely as he has done that, he extends that same invitation to us tonight. Follow me. We are called. Whether we accept the invitation is totally in our hands. totally a matter of our own will, totally a matter of our own decision. And so we can't say, I don't feel called. But you see, we see in Peter here a perfect example of what happens to many of us as well. Peter was concerned about other things. And some of you are concerned about other things. I don't know what they are. But there are other things that apparently are more important than following him to some of you. This is true of any group. I'm not particularly zeroing in on this group or on any individual in this group because I don't know you that well. I just know that in a group this size, there are those who have conflicting interests and other things take precedence, whatever those other things might be. And so there in the 21st chapter of John, we see the Lord speaking to Peter and he says, follow me. And Peter is more concerned about John. What about this man? What's going to happen to him? You want me to follow you? What about him? Is he going to follow you? Don't you want to ask him the same thing? And the Lord said, Peter, it really is none of your business. I've made one request of you. That's the only one you have to answer. Peter, you follow me. I'll take care of John. But we do get involved. What about so-and-so? Or what about that situation? Or I can't give that up, or this, or this, or this. And we have conflicting interests and other things that take precedence in our thinking. And Jesus is trying to get through to us tonight to just say, look, the only real important question that you have to answer tonight, are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to follow me? That is the call. The call. Now in this matter of, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you, I simply want to call two or three things to your attention. That verse, by the way, is found in John 20:21, as you probably know, where it says, Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be with you. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, how did the Father send the Son? Well, if you'll turn to Philippians, the second chapter, we find a very beautiful dissertation on how the Father sent the Son. Starting with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus. In other words, the same mind that you see demonstrated in Jesus Christ is the mind that you are to demonstrate, or the attitude, if you please, that you are to demonstrate with one another. And what was that mind? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he was willing to give up the glory that he had rightfully his. He was willing to give it up in order that he might fulfill the desire of the Father. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Now notice this. Notice the descending scale as far as the values of people are concerned. The descending scale through which Jesus progressed, if you want to call it progression. Emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, number one, and being born in the likeness of men, two, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Now, that is not a very successful pilgrimage. But notice what happened. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. To become nothing in the eyes of men if necessary, so that God can do what he wants in your life. Jesus was a failure as far as the terminology of success of the world today and in that day was concerned. He was a failure. The very men that he drew around him left him at the last moment. He left no institutions, he left no buildings, he left no organizations. There was nothing that he left that would demonstrate that he had accomplished any noticeable objective, except 11 scared men. But through the process of being willing to allow God to strip him of everything that seemed important, he reached the place where God was able to exalt him and to give him a name that is above every name. And as we noticed one other night, if we would live, we must die. And if we would gain, we must lose and give up. And so on. So that's what Jesus is asking of us tonight if we want to follow him. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Took upon himself everything that stripped from him a reputation. Now, am I really willing to allow that to happen today? I wonder. Are you? Another thing that he points out, that the scripture points out, that Jesus came to do. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food, or meat, as it says in the Authorized Version, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus was saying, the most important thing in the world to me is to do God's will, to do the Father's will, the one who sent me. This is my food, my drink. This is what sustains me. Obeying the Father. To do his will. Now, I'm sure that some of you have been dealt with this week by the Spirit of God, by the simple process of the use of the Word of God in your study groups and your discussion groups and your conversations with one another, and from the messages, hopefully, you've been stimulated by the Word of God and he has dealt with you in some areas. And I'm sure that in some of your lives, he has pinpointed and specifically indicated certain areas in which he would desire a greater degree of obedience. Now, the question comes. Are you willing to? Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to do what he has indicated to you this week? This conference is a very fine time of getting together and trying to present some of these things, but it's insignificant in the total context of your daily experience. And when you leave here tomorrow and go back into the normal context of your life and to the situations that you have to deal with day after day and the difficult relationships that you might have and the pressures of a job and whatever else they might be, it is there where some of the things that have been indicated to you during this week are going to either bear fruit or die. And it will be basically because of either a lack of willingness or a willingness to put them into practice. Jesus said, the most important thing in the world to me is to do the will of Him who sent me. What's the most important thing in the world to you tonight? He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. To obedience. Jesus said, He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And we can sing, My Jesus, I love you, until we lose our voices. And it won't really mean very much if we're not willing to obey. He that has my commandments and obeys them, he it is that loves me. That's John 14:21, as most of you know. Obedience is the demonstration of love, as far as Jesus is concerned. Just as obedience was the demonstration of the Son of God in fulfilling His objective. And Jesus says, just as the Father sent me to obey, I'm sending you. And then one last thing. John 9:4. Not only was Jesus sent to do the will of the Father, He was sent to do His works. Verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Now last night we talked about what the major objective that God wants to see accomplished is. That is the work to which He has sent us. The proclamation of the message of Jesus Christ to men and women who do not know Him, and all of its related involvements. The winning of friendships and the gaining of confidence to the point where we can share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. A demonstration of the reality of Christ in our life in the fruit of the Spirit as indicated in Galatians 5:22 and 23. These are the things that Jesus talked about when He talked about works. Not a lot of activities that we can get involved in which are not meaningful. They may be important and they may have their place, but it is not to that that Jesus is referring. Jesus was referring to the specific work that God gave Him to accomplish. The revelation of God, the glorifying of the Father, the fulfilling of His will, the presenting of His liberating message. This is the work to which He came, and to which He commends us when He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Now will we be like Peter, who in the weakness of his misunderstanding of that moment, as soon as Jesus was taken from their midst, in the following verses after this statement, because it was in chapter 20 that Jesus made the statement, in verse 3 of chapter 21 that Peter goes back to fishing. And we're no better off than Peter as far as our abilities are concerned, except for the fact that we have been given the Spirit of God, who had not been given at that point in history. It was prior to the experience of Pentecost. But just as Peter, who was removed from the presence of Jesus Christ, just as he quickly forgot what it was that Jesus had said and went back to fishing, so we, having heard all these things all week, and having been encouraged and stimulated and whatever else might have happened, we can go back. And being removed from this particular context and from this influence, we can, as it were, go back to fishing. And nothing has changed. We had a great time, but we're back to the old routine again. And our lives basically remain untouched. It can happen. That's why this illustration is given to us in Scripture of Peter's experience. But this final thought, this is how Jesus tells us He has sent us. But then He makes this promise. Matthew 28:20. this is another account in another gospel of the same situation, but in verse 20, he makes the promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now there you have the provision of God. You see, you have had, we've seen tonight his call, which is to himself, to Jesus, his commission, which is to do as he did, as the Father sent me, so I send you, the call and the commission, and here's the provision that he makes, his presence. Lo, I am with you always. And in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, you find an expression that God gave to Moses, which in principle was the forerunner of this statement that Jesus made in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Exodus 33 and verse 14. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And so Jesus stands tonight in the text that we've read, and he says to you, follow me. This is his call. Follow me. And then he says, now, as you follow me, I am sending you as the Father sent me. This is the commission. And then he adds graciously, but don't be concerned. I'll be with you always. In every situation, I'll be there. And together we can accomplish the objective. Follow me. As the Father hath sent me, so I'm sending you. And my promise is that I will be with you always. And my question to you tonight is, what is your response to this gracious gesture of Jesus Christ? Having heard what you have, having discussed what you have, having had your heart, to some degree, I'm sure, dealt with, what is your response tonight? Will you follow him? And if you've never received him as your personal Savior, will you follow him in that step, first of all? If you've never had that kind of an encounter with him, will you do that before you leave? And if you have, and you are certain of that relationship, then will you follow him as he has indicated to us, willing to give up all those things that we might think of as important in order that God might do what he wants, willing to be obedient to the will of the Father, and willing to be involved in the work that Jesus came to start? Will you follow him that way? Conscious of the promise that his presence will go with us and he will give us rest. Shall we pray?